WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Actors Randy Quaid and Dennis Quaid are brothers whose careers have taken them in different directions. Dennis, with his athletic good looks, usually gets the leading man roles. The 6'4" Randy, with his slightly jowly cheeks and large facial features, has been playing character roles. They acted together in the film The Long Riders and in the off-Broadway play True West. And next year, Randy will direct himself and Dennis in the film Power of the Dog. Randy Quaid is best known to film audiences for his roles in the last picture show Fool for Love, The Last Detail, and National Lampoon's Vacation. On TV, he portrayed Lyndon Johnson in the miniseries LBJ The Early Years, and he was a regular on the 1985-86 season of Saturday Night Live. We'll be seeing a lot more of Randy Quaid in the next few months. In the forthcoming films Bloodhounds of Broadway, Out Cold, and Parents, he co-stars respectively with Madonna, Terry Garr, and Mary Beth Hurt. He plays a golf pro in the HBO movie Dead Solid Perfect, which premieres on December 18th. Some of these are starring roles and different kinds of characters than Quaid was offered when he first began his film career.
When I first started acting, I was given a lot of parts that were such like country bumpkins, the rube, the naive characters, the hero's best friend, and these parts were fine, you know, for the time being. But I always felt like I had more in me to contribute as an actor, and for the last few years, I've been getting the kind of parts that I find intriguing and challenging.
You said that for years you were offered the country bumpkin type of part. What do you think it was that got you cast in those kinds of roles, being from the South, being very tall and broad?
I think, there's a combination of that. I'm originally from Houston, and when I first came out to California, I had a really thick Texas accent. And that immediately categorized me as a country flavored actor, and so I think it's been a long process, you know, to get past that and those types of roles. And I worked on my voice a little bit, not consciously, but I just think
losing an accent.
Yeah, being away from Texas, I tended to gradually lose the accent.
What's the most refreshing role of your new movies coming out, the most refreshing for you to have done?
I would say it's Parents. It's a movie for Vestron that Bob Balaban directed and Mary Beth Hurt. And I played these parents. And it's a dark comedy, a psychological horror picture. It deals with parent-child relationships, basically, and the parents have a deep, dark secret that I won't go into right now. But that's basically what the movie's about, and it's the type of picture that you will be laughing, and then they'll turn around and you'll be scared in the next moment, hopefully.
You and your brother, Dennis Quaid, are an interesting comparison in the sense that you get a lot of character roles and he gets a lot of leading man-type roles.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose in a way that's been very good in the sense that you don't compete for the same roles, whereas some brothers and sisters do compete for the same roles.
Yeah, it's Dennis and I are definitely, I think, different types. Our careers have gone in different directions. He's more of the traditional leading man, and I'm more of what you might call a character actor, and I personally prefer the parts that I've been getting recently, because I don't play the same type of role with each movie.
Well, there seems to be more idiosyncrasy in the world of character actors than in the world of leading men. And sometimes it's the character actors who bring a lot of the energy to a movie, a lot of the idiosyncrasy.
Yeah, they really are the color, I suppose, that carry the movie along. The hero really is the driving force of the picture, and the character parts really add the nuances and the color along the way that the hero reacts off of.
Actor Randy Quaid is my guest. You're going to be directing a movie called Power of the Dog, in which you and your brother Dennis both star. Would you describe what each of your roles will be in the movie?
Well, the parts, they're set in 1925 in Montana on a ranch, and we would play brothers who are in their middle to late 30s, and they've grown up on this ranch together their whole lives. They even sleep in the same room together. And one of the brothers, my character, decides that he wants to get married, and the main conflict of the movie deals with my character bringing my wife and her 15-year-old kid home to live on this ranch, and the other brother's resentment to their presence.
What's the experience like to direct your brother?
Well, I don't know yet. I've never done it, but I'm looking forward to it. I feel that Dennis has really developed into a really good actor, especially with this new picture of his, Everybody's All American. I was really impressed with what he did with that role, and I think that because I know him better than anyone, really, that I can find things with this character that he's going to play that will really show him in a different light that hasn't been achieved before.
You worked with your brother on the film Long Riders, which was a movie that starred a lot of different brothers. It was about the Jesse James and Cole Younger gangs, and it starred Robert Keith and David Carradine, Stacy and James Keach, and you and Dennis Quaid. It was produced by the Keach brothers. I was wondering if you took time out to talk with all the other brothers in the movie about what it's like to be in the profession with a brother who acts.
Well, we didn't. We never really sat down and had a discussion about that. Hollywood has always been a town of nepotism, and it's a comforting thing, really, at times to work with your brother. It's you know, you go to work, and there's part of your family there. It gives you a real sense of familiarity, I love working with my brother. We did a play called True West by Sam Shepard for about 6 months a few years ago, and it was a very therapeutic experience for Dennis and I, and we came away from the play much closer than we had been going in, and I liked that experience a great deal.
In the play True West, the brothers fight a lot. Were you able to use sibling rivalry within your relationship and bring that out?
Oh, yeah.
On stage?
Mm-hmm. When we were growing up, I always tried to make Dennis mad. You know, I was always, we were always fighting, and I think I was just trying to get my mother's attention more than anything, because when Dennis came along, he sort of took all the focus between the two of us, and so I spent the rest of my childhood trying to get it back, you know, to my side of the family, and I would incorporate this during the play, you know, to do things to upset Dennis, which was within the characters that we were playing, because my character was always doing things to upset the other brother. So I would, you know, whisper things to Dennis like, you know, why don't you do more with this moment here, you know, during the performances, and giving him stage directions, and and it would upset him, you know, but it really worked for the play.
Gee, are you going to bring out this facet of your relationship when you're directing him?
Well,
I'm sure he's really going to love it.
Yeah, well, it's the kind of thing you know, you have to be careful when you play upon those kind of moments, but
Well, sure. I mean, you can really inflame somebody's anger and have that live forever, even though you're just meant to bring out a certain emotion in a scene that you were doing.
Yeah. I remember we took a hiatus from True West for about 3 or 4 months and then came back to it. And there's a few moments in the play where I slapped Dennis on the back of the head with the palm of my hand, just a kind of a brotherly gesture that we had growing up. And the first time we did this in rehearsal, when we came back to doing the play, it really upset Dennis. He had to leave the rehearsal room and go outside, and we had a nice long talk about resuming the play and some of the feelings that we had in our childhood and bringing that back to life on the stage. And I think it was just a reaction from some sort of deep recess in Dennis's psyche that allowed him to react as he did when I would hit him on the back of the head. And it was a reaction to how he was treated as a child by me. And I really felt a lot of compassion for him for the first time. That I love Dennis very much, and I would never do anything to hurt him, and I didn't realize that all these years I'd been really having this kind of effect on him.
When you got to Hollywood before he did.
Yeah.
What was your first reaction when you knew that he was going to act, and in fact he'd be coming out to Hollywood too? Was it one of rivalrous feelings, or of glad feelings knowing that you'd have company coming?
Well, at first it was kind of a combination of both of those feelings. It was a bit rivalrous, I would say, in the beginning. I had felt that I had made a name for myself out there. I'd been nominated for an Academy Award, and I essentially wanted to be the only Quaid in the business, you know. And I asked my brother if he had changed his name, and he said, "No, I like my name, and it's my name." And I understood, but it
well, he must have loved that.
Yeah, and he says that I never helped him get in the business. You know, I introduced him to my agents and told him some people to go talk to, but Dennis really did it more or less on his own.
You said you wanted to be the only Quaid. Did a casting director ever call the wrong brother accidentally?
No, that's not happened. No, and it's worked out just fine, really, for the both of us.
Mm-hmm. What made you want to act?
I went into acting originally because the drama room was air conditioned in high school, and
and you lived in Texas, so
yeah.
that was more of a benefit than it might seem to us Northerners.
Yeah, it was very humid there, and but I originally started out doing impressions, and I remember a high school talent show that I got up the nerve to audition for and got on that, and went out on stage, and the first time I heard the laughs, it was I knew that's what I wanted to do. It was like a big wave of love coming over the footlights there, and it really turned me on.
Who were you doing impressions of?
Well, back then, this was like in '67 something, and Jimmy Stewart, James Cagney, Lyndon Johnson. I used to do then, pretty much the standard people.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned you used to do impressions of Lyndon Johnson, because you actually played Lyndon Johnson in the made-for-TV movie LBJ the early years. Mm-hmm. And I think I remember on Saturday Night Live you doing Johnson, too?
No, I never did him on Saturday Night. I did Reagan.
Right, no, I know. Yeah. I remember, and Terry Sweeney would be Nancy.
Right, yeah.
Uh-huh. Opposite you. Uh-huh. Well, what's the difference between doing a president in a character comedy sketch, you know, doing an impression of LBJ, and doing him in a movie in a serious role? Were you able to use any of the traits you picked up in your comic impersonation?
No, the impression I did was very exaggerated and more buffoonish than the way I portrayed him in the movie. When you're doing a role, you have to you have to bring a lot of yourself to it, and that's essentially what I did. But if you're doing an impression, it's more of a sketch type of exaggeration.
In the voice as well?
In the voice as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to talk with you more about your acting career and about some of the movies that you've been in. But first, we're going to take a short break. My guest is actor Randy Quaid, and he played Lyndon Johnson in the TV miniseries LBJ The Early Years and was a series regular on Saturday Night Live during the 85-86 season. He was nominated for an Academy Award for his role in The Last Detail. He starred along with his brother Dennis in the film The Long Riders and in the off-Broadway production of True West. Quaid has three new films scheduled to open early next year, and he plays a golf pro in the HBO special Dead Solid Perfect, which debuts on December 18th. We'll be back in a few seconds. This is Fresh Air. Actor Randy Quaid is my guest. Your very first movie was Paper Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you were still in college.
Well, my first picture actually was The Last Picture Show.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Same
director, that
though.
Is what
yeah.
I mean. And it was a pretty small role. You want to describe the role?
Well, his character was called Lester Marlowe, and he was basically the rich kid in this small town in Texas, and he tried to win Sybil Shepherd's character from the character that Jeff Bridges played, and ends up taking her to this nude swimming party. And he was more or less a real rakish, kind of a goofy-looking guy. And I couldn't believe the reaction to the character that when they started screening the film. I was still in school in Houston, and one Saturday afternoon, I remember I got a call from Peter Bogdanovich. He wanted me on a plane the next day to come out to Hollywood and do What's Up, Doc? With Barbara Streisand and Ryan O'Neill, and that was like a dream come true. I mean,
what kind of reaction were you getting?
Well, people were, when he called me, he told me they really love your part, and, you know, he mentioned people like Groucho Marx or what they'd said to him, and, I mean, I was just flabbergasted, I thought, well, maybe I could have a career doing this. I thought Last Picture Show was going to be like a drive-in picture, and I really didn't give it much thought after I finished it. I was just planning to go back to school and decide what I wanted to do, you know, go to New York or Hollywood or something after I finished school.
Did you go back to school after you got these offers to do more films?
No, I didn't. Briefly I did, but, you know, for a couple of weeks, but then I got another call and had to come back out to California to do I think I got cast in a TV movie, and things just started taking off really right after Picture Show came out.
Do you remember the very first audition that you had to do for a movie?
Well, that was, let's see, probably for Brewster McCloud. Robert Altman was in town casting it, and, that was more or less a meeting. I guess the first reading audition was for Last Picture Show, and I went in thinking, well, Dustin Hoffman, he's about the hottest actor around right now. I'll just do an impression of Dustin Hoffman.
Is that what you did?
Yeah, and and Bogdanovich was in this other room with a camera, and he had me read a scene from the script, and I had this kind of smirk on my face, kind of like Dustin has at times, and I guess he liked that for. The part. I ended up getting cast in Last Picture Show in a different part than I read for him.
So if you were imagining Dustin Hoffman, if you were doing an impression of him, what role were you doing an impression of him in?
The Graduate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. do you still have to audition for roles, or are you just called and offered certain roles?
Well, most roles, they just send me the script and make an offer. There's some roles that... I have to audition for. I recently auditioned to play an Italian mafiosa type of character, and which is, you know, I don't look Italian per se, but They were very impressed with the reading, apparently. I don't know if I'm going to do that role or not, but certain roles, if you're not specifically right for it, if I feel like I have to prove to them that I can do a role, I'm very willing to audition. I had a screen test for Lyndon Johnson, I remember, and it so happened that the head makeup man at NBC was Lyndon Johnson's makeup man when he was in the White House. So he did my makeup for the screen test, and I went in there and they did all. They turned me around and a lot of times and had me read from books and scenes and everything. And it was about a 3-hour ordeal, but I ended up getting the role.
Did you do any comic impressions for the makeup man?
No,
might have really appreciated it.
I wanted to at the time. You know, I wanted to put all that behind me and just concentrate on the character.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the last detail, you got an Academy Award nomination for that. You played someone who was sentenced for 8 years for attempting to steal $40. And so you were in the military, you were being escorted to the brig. One of the characters escorting you was played by Jack Nicholson. I always read a lot about the difficulty of holding the camera, of holding people's attention on screen when you're playing against someone who's very, very intense. And Nicholson certainly has that kind of intensity on screen. Now, he was playing somebody who's very focused, very, very kind of conniving and streetwise. You were playing someone who was not really bright, who was terminally depressed, very insecure. Yet you really held the screen opposite him. It seemed like it would have been a hard role to do that because you weren't playing a quote, magnetic character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the opposition of those two characters allowed for each character to come through. And Jack is a very generous actor. He really gave me a lot.
What does that mean?
Well, he allows you to have your moments as an actor. He doesn't try to steal the scene. He doesn't have an ego like that, like a lot of actors do. And you see that in his performances. Terms of endearment, you know, he allows himself to be seen as this fat, you know, aging astronaut. I mean, he's probably my favorite modern actor. He and I had developed a wonderful relationship during the film, and I'll never forget him for what he gave and allowed me to do in that picture.
Mm-hmm. So you learned a lot making that movie.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was concerned, well, here's Jack and here's this 6'4" gangly actor who's going to tower above him, but Jack said, no, that's great, let's go with him. And, you know, the difference in size really, really helped a lot, too.
You held your head at an angle during a lot of that movie,
yeah.
Almost as if it was too heavy to hold up.
Yeah, well, the character was like that. He was real downcast and really withdrawn inside himself, and I wanted to give the impression that I was almost hiding inside my pea coat, and you know, hence that the head droop.
Actor Randy Quaid is my guest. You did Saturday Night Live for the 85-86 season. Mm. Most of the people on Saturday Night Live are comics who end up with acting careers after they leave the show. For you, you'd already had an acting career, and then you were coming on Saturday Night Live. It was really like the reverse order for what's traditionally done there. What did you want out of Saturday Night Live?
I wanted to get back into comedy, because I started out, like I said earlier, doing stand-up impressions and nightclub acts, and I just wanted to be around comedy, and I wanted to be offered more comedic scripts. And I felt that it was kind of a chancy thing to do at the time, to go from being an actor to doing sketch comedy on television. But I wanted to experience the live television format and see a lot of comedians and work on comedy and how to achieve laughs and what's funny and basically it paid off. I've been doing a lot of comedies the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Now it was known as like the worst year for Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, yeah.
Did that ever get to you? Because it was the year when all the critics were writing. Actually, they'd been writing this for a couple of years already. That is this the end of Saturday Night Live? It just got such bad reviews. It must have been kind of demoralizing.
Well, it was. After a while, it did begin to wear on me, all the negativity. I think I might have gone on and done another year if there had been a really universally positive response to the show. But I got out of it what I wanted to get. I think there was a lot of anticipation with Lorne Michaels coming back after 5 years, the original producer of the show, coming back as a producer, and I think people had their expectations set too high. I think a lot of the writing could have been funnier. I was a little disappointed by the year as a whole, but like I said, overall, I think it was a positive experience for me personally.
You know, I'm thinking that with your three or four new movies coming out and the movie you're about to direct with your brother Dennis Quaid, and Dennis Quaid starring in a new movie now and about to make the Jerry Lee Lewis movie, that your careers are both really rising simultaneously, which must be really good for you both. Because it could have been the kind of thing where one of you was really resenting the other.
Yeah, that could have happened, I suppose. It's a good thing. I think it helped that I had a little something going before Dennis got there, and I was really, really happy for Dennis to see him achieve his success as well. And I think we're both really developing into what we set out to achieve. And it was. You know, tough. We got a lot of, or I did when I first wanted to be an actor, a lot of a barrier was thrown up by my father and mother, and they wanted me to more or less pursue a traditional kind of career. But this is something that I wanted to do, and since then my father got into acting, and now my stepbrothers into acting. I mean, the whole family's jumped on.
Trying to be the Carradine family.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you very much for talking with us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Terry.
My guest has been actor Randy Quaid, and he stars in an HBO movie called Dead Solid Perfect, which debuts on December 18th. He has three new films scheduled to open in the next few months: Out Cold with Terry Garr and John Lithgow, Bloodhounds of Broadway with Madonna, and Parents. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.